be seated.
Be seated. The peace of the Lord be with you. My name is Trigvi David Johnson. You may call me many different things. Some people call me Trigger. Some people call me T. My friends call me usually Trig or Trigvi, and I want to invite you to call me Trig or Trigvi. Or if you're slightly more daring, Chaplain, oh, Chaplain. Trigvi is Norwegian, and it means trustworthy, which I think is a good name for a preacher, pastor, which is what I am to you. I serve as the dean of the chapel here at Hope College, which is a big fancy word for a pastor. I'm here, whether you like it or not, whether you want me to or not, to take your life seriously in the triune God. I am here to propose to you and to invite you into the reality that frames reality. I'm here to invite you to consider the triune God of grace, whose love is more wonderful and wild than we can possibly imagine. I'm here to introduce you to the wide open country of salvation, where the Holy Spirit blows like a fierce, loving wind, and where the streets have no name, but every road leads up into the high country of the Trinity, where the air is thin and where there is a throne with one who is seated on the throne. And the one who is seated there, his head and hair is white as white wool. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His face is like the sun shining at full force. I'm here to propose to you that the one who sits there is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we trifle with him at our peril. But if we bow down before worship, we discover the true freedom that comes with being human. I'm here to propose to you that there's a God that loves you, that there is a God of hope, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. I am your pastor. And what that means for me is that I am going to, in and out of season, love you and take your life seriously. Despite my youthful vigor and verve, I'm old school about this. And what I mean by the old school is that in the old schools, pastors had a parish. They had a people and they had a place. And whatever happened in that place to those people was the domain and jurisdiction of that pastor, which is how I approach this. Hope College is my parish. So whether you like me or not, whether you come or not to chapels or the gathering, I am for you all the time, no matter what, because I'm your pastor. You're in my parish. God has brought you here to this place. But I am merely just one of your pastors. There is a whole team of people that are charged and commissioned and by grace are here to love you and to take your life seriously. This is our little team here at the Keppel House, right across from Lovell's Hall on 10th Street. If you walk through out these doors and through the pine grove and get to 10th Street, you'll find a little house, and this is the stoop. You'll see little rocking chairs on the back, and we invite you at any time, however you're feeling, to come do some devotions. Just sit there, get a cup of coffee. Make an appointment. See one of us at any time. We are here for you. These are your pastors, and they love you. This is one of my favorite times of year. Last week at this time, everything was quiet and still, and then almost overnight, the campus starts humming like a hummingbird. It's just there's electric energy all over the place, and as I've been walking around, I've been watching all of you. I've seen mothers carrying in like Sherpas, giant suitcases. I've seen brothers and sisters texting indifferently, when can we go home? I've seen fathers walking out of financial aid with big boxes of Kleenex, dabbing their eyes. And as I've been walking around, I realize that this is a special time, and it's a sacred time. So much energy and love and passion and nurture has got you to this place at this hour. And that is something to honor. It reminds me of the time when my parents dropped me off at college. I was living in the Pacific Northwest, and I decided to go to college, a lot like this one, somewhere in the middle of America. And we packed up my suitcases and my things, and we put it in the 86 Chevy van. It was maroon, that was chipped and fading along the side, and we drove 1,500 miles into unknown territory for me. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any kin or family there. I went on an act of faith. I remember arriving in front of my dorm and that awkward feeling of recognizing, so, I get to live in a cubicle. That feels a lot like prison. I dropped off my things, and I shook my roommate's hands and understood that all of a sudden we were going to have to establish a relationship. Went through the orientation events. Went to a worship service a lot like this, and then the moment came. And I think I was a little unprepared for that moment. I think my parents were unprepared for it, too. I remember my mom hugged me tight. And if I'm honest, I think I probably hugged her a little tighter. Neither one of us wanted to let go. But it was time. Time to let go. She gave me a kiss on my cheek. Then I turned to my dad. And my dad is a good man, but he's not a hugger. He's not a talker, but he rallied. He gave me the awkward man hug, the kind of two-arm pat. And he looked me in the eye, and I looked him in the eye. And he offered me some unsolicited advice that I've never forgotten. Don't screw up. I've never forgotten that. It stuck with me. And in the spirit of my father, David, my middle name, I'd like to offer you some unsolicited advice this morning. I want to do that through the means of a story. And in that story, I want to offer you 5 smooth stones and a sling. The story is a familiar one to most of you, I imagine. And I'll take a little part of that story. It's from 1 Samuel 17, verses 31 through 40. It's the story of David and Goliath. Listen to the book that we love and see if you can't find yourself somewhere in this story. When David's words were heard, they were repeated before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Saul said to David, You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came to take a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I grabbed it by its jaws, struck it down, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David in his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him in a coat of armor. David strapped Saul's sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to walk, but it was unfamiliar to him. So David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So he removed the armor of Saul, and with his staff in his hands, he chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi. And he put them in his shepherd's bag, in his pouch. And with his sling in his hand, he drew near to the Philistine. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Most of us know this story and know how it ends. Most of us, wherever religious tradition we're from, are familiar with David and Goliath. It has captured our public imagination. It's the story of the little guy going against the big giant. It's the mom and pop store against the big storefront. It's the weak versus the powerful. It is the impossible becoming the possibility. David and Goliath. Goliath is the Philistine, representing the giant of the armies opposing the armies of Israel. He's bad. He's a big, angry dude. He has got experience. He has got weaponry. He is a master at warfare. And just his very presence on the battlefield evokes anxiety and fear into the people of Israel, the people of God, and they cower. And in steps David, out of obscurity and onto center stage, a kid from the fields, a hick, a redneck. He's got no pedigree. He's got no degrees. But he's got courage, and he's got chutzpah, and he's got faith. And he walks up to Saul, and he says, I will go and fight this Philistine. I will take this on behalf of God's people. Saul says, no, you can't. David prevails and persuades the king. Go, and may the Lord be with you, says Saul. And he clothes him in clothes that didn't feel familiar, that didn't fit David. David takes them off, and he grabs five smooth stones. You know this story, and you know how it ends. And as I was praying for all of you to arrive at Hope College, I can't help but thinking that there might be one or two of you in this room right now that feel somewhat maybe like David, or at least 99% of us might resonate with David, that we feel small. There's something before us that feels large and intimidating. We don't necessarily know the rules. We don't know the place, but we show up and we're here. I think college, for some of us, can feel a lot like that Goliath. We don't necessarily know what to expect or what's next, and if we let it, it can strike fear and anxiety into our hearts. And that's why I want to offer you five smooth stones as you enter into college, as you begin your journey at Hope. That if you take these five smooth stones and make them your own and put them into practice with faith, I believe that you will grow deeper and taller in what I like to call the soil of hope. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf never withers, and in all that they do, all that you will do, you will prosper. So take five smooth stones with you. Here's the first stone. Show up and take responsibility. Own responsibility in your life. I think it was Woody Allen that once said that 90% of life is showing up. And I want to encourage you to take this opportunity in college to show up to lots of different things. Most of all, show up to class. Show up to free lectures. Show up to opportunities to get involved in multicultural events. Show up to things that you're not good at, that you don't know anything about. Use this as an opportunity to expand your horizons, to get good at new things. Show up. Now, I know that many of you might be thinking, I don't even know where to show up to. I don't even know where to go or who to go with. And you got all these questions rambling around in your heart. Well, if I go, who will talk to me? Who do I sit with? And it might just me more of a comfort zone to stay in your room. But I want to encourage you to get out of your room, open the door, and go to things. You know, every one of us feels nervous this time of year. And that is normal. You're not imagining it. It's reality. But one of the ways to get over that anxiety is to show up. And when you show up, lo and behold, you start making friends. When you show up, you introduce yourself to someone else and them to you, and all of a sudden you start slowly making connections and connecting the dots and learning where to go. But it requires you to show up. This is what David does. David doesn't stay at home. He doesn't keep his door closed. David shows up to where the action is. But David doesn't just show up. David owns responsibility for the moment. He takes responsibility for his life and the community of his people. And I want to encourage you not to just show up, not to just occupy a pew, but to own responsibility in your life. This is a time where you are transitioning out of adolescence and into adulthood. And what we need right now is a generation that can own responsibility, that can be adults and make adult decisions, which means that you have to have the capacity to have wisdom, to not just have knowledge. We don't need smarter people. We need wiser people. And that is going to require all of us to own responsibility. I want to encourage you, my friends, to own responsibilities for why you're here. You are here to be a student, first and foremost. This is a college. This is a space set aside for the leisure to learn, to ask the questions that have no easy answers. Give yourself permission to be a student, to take full advantage of this opportunity. Please, please, please shut the TV off. Send the Xbox home with mom and dad. Open up a thick book that's stood the test of time. and enjoy and savor. Do not blow this opportunity. Whoa, I get excited. You're here to be a student. Don't plagiarize. Don't cheat. Don't steal. You are here to practice the habits of integrity and virtue that will stand the test of time, not just when you're 18, but when you're 28 and 48 and 68. Own responsibility for why you're here, to be a student. Own responsibility for this community. It's not somebody else's job to pick up the trash. It's your job. It's not somebody else's job to leave things a mess. It's our job together. How you live is how we live. In your dorm, and in classroom, and in the chapel, and at practice, how we speak to one another. Everyone must own responsibility for our life, and together we will be a people of hope that will shine like stars in the world. We are after being a different kind of school, a different kind of place in the landscape of higher education. We want to be a place where all of the people here own responsibility for who we are, together, shoulder to shoulder, walking in unison with the mind of Christ. That is what we're after. That is what it means to embody the spirit of the name of this college, hope. Own responsibility for this community. Own your responsibility as a student. And most of all, I want to encourage you to own responsibility for your health. Now, mom and dad are going to go home. They're not going to get you up in the morning, which means that you got to go to bed at a decent hour. Please, my friends, you can't stay up all night. Eat real food, not stuff that comes in shiny packages. That's not food. Eat stuff that grows out of the ground that God provided for you. There's limits to time. There's a reason why God set the sky to have only so many hours of daylight and then darkness. Because if you get fatigued, you get run down. You get run down, you get sick. You get sick, you miss that class. You miss that class, you didn't turn in your paper on time. You didn't turn in the paper, you get the bad grade. You don't get the job, and you end up living in the van down by the river. And it all happened because you didn't take care of your health. Own responsibility, my friends, for your health. Exercise, go to the Dow. Have fun doing it. But we are creatures, and we have limits, and these limits are a grace given by God to conform our life to, not to try to overcome. Own responsibility and show up to things. That's the first stone. Here's the second stone. Trust and value your past. David goes before Saul and says, I'm going to fight this Philistine. And Saul says to David, no, you're too young. You don't have any experience. See, the army is over here. They're not even brave enough to go and fight the Philistine. But David says no. And he tells him a story. I used to keep sheep from my father. And when the lion and the bear came, I struck it down. David, in the moment of decision, leans into his past, leans into the skills that God had provided for him before that moment arrived. And this is what I want to encourage you. Never, ever let anyone look down on where you're from or who your people are, because that place and those people have made you who you are. Those parents and those high schools and those teachers and those coaches, those people that have nurtured you from the cradle all the way to your freshman year in college. I believe with all my heart, just as David struck down the lion and the bear to prepare him for this moment of decision to face Goliath, God has prepared you to face the challenges at Hope College. You can lean into your past. Lean into the skills that you have, knowing that God has been preparing you all along for this moment to succeed and to thrive. Lean into who you are, who you have come from. There is strength there. The parents sitting next to you and the grandparents, these are people who love you. Honor them with your life. That the sacrifices that they have made to make this moment possible, this career for you to fly and to soar, is worth trusting and worth valuing. I don't care if you come from the mean streets of Chicago or you come from the countryside. I don't care if you come from suburbia or you come from a little hamlet like Holland or Zealand. I don't care if you come from the north or the south or east or the west. Wherever you come from, God loves that place. And God wants redemption in that place. And those places have made you who you are. So carry who you are, your past with you, into the present. That's stone number two. Here's stone number three. Use the resources that are around you. Saul puts on David, his armor. It doesn't quite fit. It's awkward. He tries in vain to walk. So he takes it off. And David looks around the natural world he's made a friend with, and he pulls out five smooth stones from the wadi. He uses the resources that are at his exposure for that moment. Hope College is a place where there are many resources and many opportunities, but very few prescriptions. And this is by design. We want to encourage you again to grow up into men and women. We want you to be adults, which means that you have to own those decisions. And part of those decisions is using the resources around you. If you need help writing a paper, go to the writing center. If you need help learning how to do a research project, go to the library and their staff. If you're wondering about calling or how to sort through the callings of my life, talk to your professors. Go to the Crossroads Project. Go to the career services. Take advantage of the RAs and the RDs on your staff. If you're needing some emotional support, come see us in the chaplain's office. Go to the counseling center. Take advantage of all of the resources. They are for you. But you have to make a decision to use them, to take advantage of them. And if you do, you will flourish. No one's going to take you by the hand. But if you have the humility to say and to look around, I need to use this to explore what those are. One of the things that would be a good idea, freshman, is if you ask an upperclassman, what are the resources you wish you would have known about your freshman year going in? Ask questions about what questions to ask. Figure out where to go and who to go to. Use these resources. We are here for you. We are dedicated 100% to helping you thrive. So that's stone number three. Stone number four is this, and this is important. Stone number four is to know who you are. David persuades Saul. Saul puts his armor on David, but it doesn't fit. And I have seen more than once people at college putting on somebody else's armor that doesn't fit them. I've seen more than once people walking around in vain, awkwardly, trying to look like how other people want them to look or act. You don't have to do that. I want to encourage you to be who you are and your convictions and your people, what's important to you. High school is over. Who you have been is part of who you are, but this is also a new beginning. You don't have to go along with the crowd on everything. Do not think that because you enroll at a college that is rooted in the historic Christian faith that there isn't sin, that there isn't things to be tempted by that may not necessarily be who you want to be. Those are here. Wherever there is people, there'll be sin. But if you want to take up the smooth stone of David to get through college, always honor who you are. But most important, and this is the big one, this is what David understood in his soul and in his bones. The fifth smooth stone is to know whose you are. David knows that he belongs body and soul to the living God of Israel, a God that is active, a God that shows up and owns responsibility. David says to Saul, the same Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, this is the same Lord that will save me from the hand of Goliath. The same God that David is referring to is the same God in Genesis and the Spirit hovering over the waters, the same God who spoke a word and reality was birthed. The same God that spoke to Moses established a covenant with Abraham that has been echoing down the canyons of time to us is the same God that was on the cross on Jesus Christ, the same God at the resurrection, the same God at Pentecost when the Spirit was poured down upon the church. It is that same God that is here today. It is that God that Hope College is dedicated to worshiping. For the worship of that God is the center of hope that gives us the circumference of grace. That same God is the one who claims us as his own. Know who you are, but most importantly, knows whose you are. You are God's. If you ever forget that, I want to invite you to come and talk and use the resources to remember and get oriented. It's easy to get disoriented. There's a sociologist of religion named Craig Gay who teaches at Regent Seminary in Vancouver, British Columbia. He wrote a little book called The Way of the Modern World, and one of his theses is this, that the greatest temptation to worldliness today comes in the form of the temptation that it's normal, indeed expedient, to go about our daily life without giving much thought to God at all. In other words, the greatest temptation to worldliness doesn't come from sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It comes from that quiet assumption that's in the air that we don't have to remember or think about God, that we can go through our daily life. We can go to church on Sunday, but business is business Monday through Friday. We can go to chapel, but when we go back to the dorm room or when we're hanging with our friends, that's a completely different story, that we don't have to give much thought to God. Well, I want to encourage you to remember whose you are. You are God's. And to remember that, I want to invite you to come and make worship a part of your life. We worship in chapel on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10:30. And on Sunday night, there's a worship service called The Gathering. And this isn't going to save you. Only God saves you. But it can sometimes be enough to orient our life, to remember that there is a God to worship. To remember that there is a God who loves you fiercely, more wildly than we could possibly imagine. That there is a wide open country of salvation. That there is a throne of grace with one who sits upon that throne, and he is living and he is active. So I want to encourage you to take these five stones. Take the stone of showing up and owning responsibility. Value and trust your past. Use the resources that are around you. Know who you are, but mostly know whose you are. And then I want to invite you to pick up a sling. These stones won't fling themselves. You need a sling that will help you activate this. And that sling is simply this: faith. Faith in the living and active God. You can come to chapel, you can go to class, you can fill a pew, but unless there is faith, unless you own this as your own, you're just filling space. It's time for you to make your own decisions about these things. David was able to bring down Goliath, not because he was the strongest, but because he had a living faith, a faith in a God that shows up. And when we orient our life around that God, something good happens. There is a grace that begins to be a ripple effect for generations yet to come. We are participants of that grace in that living God. I want to invite you this year to use your sling. Take up these five stones and every single day activate a faith that will allow you to overcome any obstacle and challenge you face at Hope College. It's time, my friends. A new season has ended, but whenever there's an end, there's always a new beginning. This is the beginning of your college career. Pick up these five smooth stones. Fling these stones with a sling of faith and let it be full of passion. Oh, I forgot one thing. Back in knowing who you are, I always do this, and I forgot. I should have remembered this. But there's always this dynamic that happens at college, and you guys have been Facebooking and IMing, And you've been anticipating this moment a long time. And maybe it's best I just save this to the end. This is probably providential. You guys are kind of checking each other out right now. And I want to encourage you that to what I call respect the October rule. Many of you are looking for love. You're looking to find someone to walk through life with, right? You've been anticipating this moment a long time in your life. Part of knowing who you are is knowing what season you're in. This is a season of your life right now where there's a lot of transition. And so I want to encourage you to respect the October rule. This is critical. This will keep you from living in a van down by the river. Always listen to me, all right? The October rule is simply this. Don't ask anyone out. Don't accept an invitation to go out until October. In my experience, major life transitions are not the time to begin and explore a significant relationship. I know that October seems a long way away because she's so cute. And she's in my FYS. And man, if I can just, you know, dude, relax. October's not that far away. Respect the October rule. Part of knowing yourself, part of owning and showing up is also giving yourself some space to settle into life here. So before you explore and jump into intimacy, before you try to get into a relationship that might get complicated, take a deep breath. Give yourself some space to figure out the landscape of hope. And don't ask anyone out till October. For upperclassmen that are here, I want you to respect this for the freshmen. Upperclassmen, it's a different game. They don't have to adhere to this. This is just for you. But upperclassmen, don't ask any of the freshmen out. Don't do that now. Just wait. Okay, that's my pastoral advice. I should be a whole 6th smooth stone. But respect that. So, my friends, as we step into a year together, it's my prayer that you will flourish, that you'll grow deeper and taller in the soil of hope. There are so many people cheering for you. And this is the moment for you to make a promise and to make a decision. It's not a promise that your parents can make for you. It's a promise that you have to make to yourself and to the living God. I want to invite you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine, if you can, 4 years from now. In 4 years, we're all going to be sitting right back here in Dimnit Chapel. It's going to be our baccalaureate service. And you're going to hear my voice. But there's been a lot that's gone on between this moment and then. Who are you? Do you remember whose you are? Did you grow deeper in the soil of hope? Did you give and not just take? Did you use the resources that are around you? Did you fall in love? Did you learn? Did you ask the questions? Did you explore? You know, open your eyes. 4 years is going to go by like that. And how you answered those questions is based upon whether you can make a promise to yourself. Make a promise to yourself to own this time and this moment in your life. Make a promise to yourself to value and trust your past. Make a promise to yourself to use the resources around you, to be true to yourself, and to be true to your God, and to make a promise that every single day you will live with a faith that will give you the courage of David to stand up to any Goliath in your way, and in the name of the living God, trust him that you will overcome. Would you pray with me? I want to thank you, God, for this time, for this moment that you have given us, a moment where you remind us that we are yours, that your grace is sufficient, that you hold us in the palm of your hand. I pray for each person here, God, that your spirit would be living and active. Come, Lord Jesus, fill us with your love, fill us with your hope, And as we step into this new life together, we do so in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Friends, I want to invite you to stand if you are able. And at Hope College, we pivot off what we call the historic Christian faith. And what that means for us is that we echo the truth, believe in our heart and soul and mind what has been passed down to us from generation to generations. So in that spirit, would you say with me the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.